Chapter 4, I want to look today in the book of Mark at the storms of life. The storms of life. We're going to look at this storm and see some spiritual implications from the storms that they were going through. You know, sometimes, many times, we go through storms in our life, right? Things are not going the way we want them. Things are troubled. Wind is blowing contrary to us. So I want to look at this today, beginning with verse 35 through 41, the storms of life. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. I think you need to keep that in mind. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was about now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus, that is, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, we've all been guilty of saying that we wish we could have walked with Jesus and been one of those disciples and experienced life with the Lord there. And this is one of those instances where I think we might not want to be there. Because, first of all, they're in a storm. I mean, it was an out-of-control storm. And then they get over on the bank and Jesus scolds them for not having any faith. Why were you so fearful? And the idea was he was right there all along. And then it says that they feared exceedingly one to another and said, what manner of man is this that even the sea obeys his voice? The Lord Jesus overcome all things through the power of the Spirit, and he controls the storm. Peace be still. Now the disciples were at the end of a day, and Jesus had been speaking and preaching, and they sent the multitude away, and he's worn out apparently, because he goes to the end of the ship there, and he falls asleep. And then this great storm, a windstorm, comes up. The waves beat on the ship. The ship's full of water. It's full of water. Jesus still asleep. Let that be a lesson to those of us who have anxiety issues. He's still asleep. And we see this devastation in our everyday life. We see storms. And they are in the middle of the storm. And this ship is full of water and tossed. Now, we're going to pull some things from this and help us to see about the storms of life. First of all, storms come up in your life even if the Lord is in your life. Storms come up in your life even if Jesus is in the boat with you. Some have the idea if you're right with the Lord, nothing ever happens to you bad, or nothing will ever come up. I don't know where we get that. But when you get saved, you don't solve all your problems. Matter of fact, you have a new group, a new set. And if you're thinking getting saved is going to eliminate your problems, you just got the help to get through them. That's what you've got when you get saved. The Christian life is not an easy life. It's a better life. Over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Bible says that the land where you go is a land of hills and valleys. A land of hills and valleys. And so what that is saying, there's ups and downs, there's turns, there's a lot of beauty, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of changes going on. And so the Christian life is a life that is, that it's not flat ground. I mean, it's just not even ground. There's a lot of ups and downs that you have to go through. The Lord does not save you to escape problems. Secondly, we can't control the storms of life. Now, I know some of us like to, and we do the best we can, and there is a group of people that controlled this storm. It was the ones that stayed out of the boat on the other side. They never went anywhere. They just sat there and missed the storm. You can miss the storms like that, but if you're going to walk with God, and if you're going to live the Christian life, the storms of life will come your way. Okay? So if it's storming in your life right now, okay, it is. Just accept it. Now, sometimes we can see them coming. I mean, you can see a storm coming sometimes. And you can look at a situation and you can kind of say, well, I need to prepare for this. But sometimes they come in the night and you cannot be prepared and they sneak up on you. So sometimes storms are going to come to your life as a Christian and you don't see them coming because it's night. Sometimes a storm will pop up on a sunny day too, won't it? And you're prey to get rained on. And it just messes things up. Anyone here get aggravated when everything doesn't go the way you want it? All of us. Now, this was an avoidable storm. I said some you can't avoid. This is an avoidable storm. They could have stayed with the crowd and not went with Jesus, and they would have missed the storm. So, you know, some people's philosophy is, well, it's going to rain over there on the crowd that's not following Jesus. It's not going to rain on me if I'm close to Jesus. Well, they're very close to Jesus, but it was a storm sent for them, just special for them to learn. And so they could have stayed with the crowd. They could have missed out on the storm. But, you know, you can quit. You can turn away. Let me tell you something. If you're serving the Lord, you can take an easy road. You can take an easy road and get out of some of the storms. If you're teaching a Bible study class on Sunday morning, I'm going to promise you that sometimes you're going to feel like the devil done woke up in the middle of your house before church that day. Right? Storms come and they are avoidable, but not if you're going to walk with God, not if you're going to do the will of God, and the devil won't bother you until you bothering him. Okay? So storms are avoidable. And a lot of Christians avoid the storms because they want to stay out of the boat. They don't want to get into the boat and take a chance. You can take a vacation. You can get away. You can escape some of the storms. But the best thing to do is to stay close to Jesus and go through the storm. Now, the fourth thing from this, I want us to get that he could have stopped that storm anytime he wanted to. This makes me mad sometimes. The Lord could stop that storm anytime he wanted. He could have woke up out of that sleep and peace be still. That boat would have never got uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. You guys, the most uncomfortable part of life is when your underwear is wet. Amen? That make you puke, won't it, Dale? We might as well get very uncomfortable today. Now, the Lord could have stopped the storm. But the Lord has a purpose in the storms that he allows to come into your life. Romans 8, 28 and 29, they all work together for the good of them that love God and called according to his purpose. And the purpose is, verse 29, to make us more like Christ. So he could stop the storms, but he uses the storms to mold us. And I hear people when we have a little storm at church, something will come up, something will happen that's not convenient and something we wouldn't choose. And I'm going to quit. No. Just quit talking like that stuff. That's not even a part of your vocabulary as a Christian. You shouldn't do that. If you can talk that way, I wonder where you really are, if you've listened to preaching any. See, storms are to make you uncomfortable. Okay? They are to make you uncomfortable. You know, the fears that we have in life. You know, some preach that, you know, have no fear, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. That's just a way of escape from reality. God uses fear as much as he does faith, and he wants faith to combat fear, not positive thinking. Okay? Nothing wrong with positive thinking, but don't try to overcome your fears with it. Let your faith overcome it. So the storms are there to make us uncomfortable. Sometimes storms are there to chasten us. Sometimes God sends a storm to our life because maybe we're going the wrong direction and he wants to chasten us, or maybe there's some sin in our life that we need to consider and we need to look at. So sometimes God sends storms to chasten us, but sometimes God sends storms to our life to challenge us. See, anybody can sail when the water is smooth. But I don't want to ride with you in your ship. I want to ride with a guy that's been in the storm, because you never know when the storm's going to come. And I like that experience to be there to help us. And some storms come and they pass and they leave no damage. Some storms come and they devastate and there's no repairing them. Sometimes storms are going to wreck your life and you just got to rebuild. You just got to go on. Storms. Well, if you get miserable in the boat on the sea full of water with the wind blowing, that may be where God wants you. If you're going through an experience right now and you think, I'd love to get out, this has got to change, you may be right where God wants you. Okay? Now, at this point, they've had all they can stand. And, you know, Jesus said, why did you have no faith? And, you know, I'm thinking I'm one of those disciples in that boat. And I'm wanting to say, now, Lord, I didn't just run back here when I seen the cloud coming. I mean, the boat is full of water. What else was I to do? But he says, I have no faith, so I better believe him. Now, they were about to drown. I can see them bailing water. I can see them praying. I can see them doing all these things. And I'm sure there was somebody on that boat complaining when they should have been bailing. Right? I'm sure they were there. But it's all going on, the storms. And besides this, when we look at this text, something I noticed a few years ago that I never saw when I first read this text, well, there's a lot of other little boats out there. Can you imagine being on one of those little boats without Jesus in the ship with you? And all these little boats, I think, are very representative of a lot of people that want to sail their own boat and not let the Lord be the guide. You know, I'm going to fly in an airplane next Tuesday, and I hate to fly. You know why I hate to fly? The more I've flown, the more I get comfortable with it. But the reason I hate to fly is because I cannot be in control. Anybody else like that? If I could fly that plane, it'd probably crash years ago, but it would make me feel better as I went down. Now, these little boats that you're in could sink at any time, and the Lord's not there to help you. He's far off from you. And you need to get out of your little boat and get in the boat with Jesus. You need to quit trying to be so independent. You need to stop trying to be in control. You need to come on board with Jesus and be a part of the ship and just let the winds blow and let the storms come and stay in the boat. Folks have trouble staying in the boat. Now, the reason these people are in their little boat, they wanted to go as they wanted, and maybe some of them had to get there, but it's just a good representative of us when we want to be in control. We want it little, but we can control it. You know, a lot of churches are that way in the country. They want to keep their church under their control. I don't know why. Now, we need to be in the boat with Jesus. And in my analogy today, to be in the boat with Jesus, number one, you got to be saved. You got to be saved to be in the boat with Jesus. Number two, you need to be thinking about serving him in some way. You need to be serving the Lord in some capacity, whether it's in the framework of the church or out in the world somehow, bringing honor and glory to Jesus and bringing someone to know Christ or witnessing your faith to other people that need to have Christ in their life. In some way, you need to be serving Jesus. Then you're in the boat. And you need to be surrendered. Now, this is a thing that comes and goes. Surrender. Surrender. Sometimes we're surrendered to God, and sometimes we take it back, and we get in control of our little boat again. I want to challenge you, if you've never been saved, to be saved. If you are saved, look for a way to serve. And if you are serving, make sure you're surrendered and not trying to be the center and the boss of what you're doing, but let Christ be the boss. Now, your boat can sink if you don't stay in the right boat with Jesus. We need to get in that ship and be with him. Now, let me give you a profound truth that I shared with me years ago. Verse 35. Now, can you imagine these disciples are in this ship and the wind is blowing, the rain is coming, and it's beating. They're probably against the rock, beating against the rock, and they're full of water. But you know what? I look back at verse 35, and Jesus made this word. He said this word. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Sometimes when everything's going wrong, you need to go to the Word of God and get you a promise from God. And they could have went back and remembered what Jesus said, but at the time in the storm with the wind blowing and the water up to here, they can't think about these things. But Jesus told them that we're going to the other side. Now, anything Jesus said, it's going to happen. Hey, it's like one preacher said years ago, if that thing would have sunk, it would become a submarine and went on to the other side. It was going to the other side, amen? And that's the point. If it went under, it would have been that submarine. Now, verse 35, he said, let us pass over to the other side. And so I'm wanting to stay in that boat with Jesus because we're going somewhere and we're going to get somewhere and we're going to be somewhere, and it's not an endless battle that goes nowhere. We're going from point A to point B when I'm in the boat with Jesus. Get in the boat and let's go together. But then we look at the text and Jesus is asleep on board the ship. He's asleep. Verse 38, the first part of it. Now, why is he asleep? I think it illustrates his perfect peace in trusting the Father. It's his perfect. He knows everything's going to be all right. He's asleep. And Jesus been doing the Father's will all day, and he heads to the boat. He gets on board. He's tired, and he goes, and he lays down, and he goes to sleep. Man, I need to be praying about that. Jesus sleeps at perfect peace. Now, what we need to remember, he was there. You know, it seems that sometimes God is asleep. To me, sometimes I want to say, Lord, as these disciples went back there and woke him, I want to say, Lord, would you wake up and would you see what I have here and what I want you to do and what I want you to fix that I can't fix? Lord, would you wake up? Sometimes I feel like the Lord is asleep. You ever felt that way? I guess it's true that sometimes he's not looking to change my situation as I would want him to. Amen? But the thing we need to remember is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. He is always there, and we can count on that. And that's the positive side. The negative side, he's not going to be our divine bellhop that does what we want him to do all the time. Because he's not going to take that storm away because there's something else he wants to accomplish in that storm. And he's not going to remove that storm until it's time, until it does all that he wants it to do. But he's sleeping. And as I think about the Lord sleeping, I think about even in my life and your life sometimes, Sometimes we do not awake the Lord in our life. Sometimes we just get away from our walk with God. Sometimes we get to the place where it's like the Lord is not in our life. But we know He's there, but we can get away. So there's a lack of lordship in our life. That Jesus is not, we're not surrendered to Him as we should be. Sometimes you have to look for God and find Him in your life because you've been astray. You know, there's Christians that can be out of church for years. They can be away from God for years. And they're saved. But they have to find the Lord in the sense of, man, I'm just confused because I'm out there. So they went to find Jesus. And we need to wake Him up in our life. We need to stir the Lord in our heart and let Him be alive and let Him work. And listen, and the sad thing is, don't wait till the boat's full of water. Don't wait till then. Now, maybe this storm came to show us, maybe it came to show us that sometimes there needs to be a stirring in our life to wake us. Wouldn't you know that to be true? Many of us have allowed our walk with God to grow stale and the lordship of Christ be a non-issue and surrender not to be a part. And so, hey, let's wake up the Lord in our life and not wait till the storm comes, the wind blows, and it's beating on the ship and we're about to drown. Let's don't wait till then, but usually we will, won't we? Now we look at this also as I see Jesus sleeping in the ship. Sometimes we can have the attitude that God doesn't care. We can have the attitude that God doesn't care. He cares. He cares. In the garden, if you go back to Eve there in the temptation in the garden, it was like Satan was saying to her that God really doesn't care for. There's a little voice in your mind that might say that. God cares. He's just got a purpose. And He's got a plan. And so we might could look at this storm as a way that God proves that He cares. Sometimes we need that. Hey, listen, I've lived in the Christian life for quite some time now. And I'll be honest with you, I like it. I like when the roads are smooth. I like when they're straight. I like when there's a gas station right where I need it and a soda right where I want it. And I like for the hotel to be right down there where it needs to be. But sometimes we get self-confident and God sends us a storm. Storms are good and we don't want to admit it. Sometimes He sends a storm to help us to see our life in a new way or to see Him in a new way or to start out on a new way. You see in verse 41, and it says that they feared exceedingly. They feared exceedingly. And they said one to another, "What manner of man is this?" Now wait a minute. They had been with Jesus quite some time. They had known Him for some time now, and now He sends a storm to get them to see Him in a different way. And I'm going to tell you something. If you walk this Christian walk, if you stay in this Christian life, there's going to be a time that there's going to be something coming to your life that's never come into your life before, and it's not going to be something you want. It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to threaten your security, and it's going to get you to fear, and fear is good, and it's going to cause you, when it's all said and done, to see the Lord in a greater way. That's the Christian life, or that's where it should be. And when troubles come and when storms come, we shouldn't take the attitude that the devil is controlling, the devil did this and the devil did that. We need to have the attitude that God's over all, God sees all, He allows it all, and we need to see Him in a greater way. Amen? So, Here it is, verse 40. Why are you so fearful? I don't know where that's coming from. Sometimes I look at that and say, what is he saying? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And you know, when I look at that and I think about why are you so fearful and why is it that you have no faith, it goes back to this absolute truth for the Christian life, that the faith we had yesterday will not do for the faith we need tomorrow. If your faith is what you gained 3 weeks ago, 3 years ago, three decades ago, if that's all your faith is, your faith is not up to date and it needs to be caught up, and the Lord will have to send something fearful to you to cause you to doubt, to cause you to wonder, to catch you up. See, we love the comfort zone. We love just to be right here. But God sends these storms to stir us, to awaken us, to cause us to have a greater experience with him, and maybe even to dig deeper into his word. You have no faith. They had faith to be saved. They had faith for other things, but the Lord is wanting them to have faith to face the storms of life. Now, here it is. When the storm comes to our life, we need it. God's going to use it. And we just need to look to God during it. The storms. Are you going through a storm? Have you just been through a storm? You know the wonderful thing about the storm here? It's peaceful now. Jesus said, peace be still, and the storm stopped. And the Christian life is like that. It's a land of hills and valleys. There's storms, and then there's the peace after the storm. So let me give you this word in closing. If everything is peaceful in your life right now, I got bad news for you. It's not going to stay that way. A storm's headed towards you somewhere out there. You may see it coming, you may not see it coming, and it may pop up on your sunny day and ruin your parade. So if you're doing okay and all's going well and you are his, I promise you it's going to get bad. But if you're in the storm right now, maybe just at the end of the storm right now, I got good news for you. The Lord's going to say, peace, be still to the wind, and the storm's going to cease. He's going to give you his peace. He's going to give you his contentment. What do you say? Stay in the boat with Jesus. Walk with him. Trail him. Follow him. Let him be Lord of your life. It's going to be okay. I want us to bow our heads.